Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It was another night of violence in dozens of cities across the United States. Night six of protests, many of which turned into riots over the Minneapolis police custody death of George Floyd a week ago today. Nearly 40 cities are under nighttime curfews. National Guard troops have been activated in 15 states as well as Washington, D.C. New York City authorities believe the violence there associated with the George Floyd death has been planned out. NYPD Chief John Miller is saying that they have evidence from anarchist leaders.
Advanced scouts using encrypted communications, having resupply routes for things like gasoline and accelerants, as well as rocks and bottles.
Today marks the start of the Atlantic hurricane season, which experts say will be a very active one this year. And this is USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The nation's capital seeing vandals and rioters deface monuments across the district yesterday during a third night of protests there over the police custody killing of George Floyd. Despite that vandalism, one activist named Ariana spoke with Good Morning America today, saying she does want to make sure the D.C. demonstrations do remain peaceful, as she fears the overall message is being lost.
Whenever the president talks about black people, he calls us thugs, he calls us stupid, he says we have low IQ. Just go through his tweets. So why would you go and show them that black people are too excellent for you to be out here destroying your own community?
The Republican National Committee is giving North Carolina's Democratic governor a Wednesday deadline to guarantee a full-service GOP National Convention. The committee sending Governor Roy Cooper a letter over the weekend requesting hotels and restaurants operate at full capacity for the convention that's set for late August in Charlotte. And this is USA Radio News.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hurricane season officially starts today, and it's expected to be an active one. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says it expects as many as 19 named storms in the Atlantic, including up to 10 hurricanes. Many states have not yet spent the coronavirus stimulus money they received weeks ago, according to USA Radio's John Hunt.
Many states have yet to spend the federal funding they received more than a month ago to help with soaring costs related to the coronavirus crisis, locating governors' arguments that they need hundreds of billions more dollars from U.S. taxpayers. The Associated Press reviewed plans from governors or lawmakers on how they plan to use the money and found that only one-third have started distributing the money. The reasons vary. Some governors want permission to use the federal aid to plug budget holes after business closures and stay-at-home orders eroded the tax revenue that pays for government operations. Others are holding back because they fear a resurgence of the virus could mean another wave of expenses. Congress approved $150 billion for state and local governments in late March as part of the $2.2 trillion response to the outbreak, and the money was distributed almost immediately. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
Stocks opening slightly lower to start June trading on Wall Street this morning. Investors weighing reports that China is halting purchases of U.S. agricultural products. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Gene Sperling, the Chief Economic Advisor to Presidents Obama and Bill Clinton, is here with us right now to talk about his new book, Economic Dignity. Gene, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, but first of all, in regard to economic dignity, your definition, what is it that you're telling us about that we need to be in terms of the nomenclature so that we're all on the same page? How do you define economic dignity?
Well, I think the timing couldn't be better, because this is a moment now where if we do our normal definition of what it means for the economy to be good, which is we look just at GDP or we look just at the stock market, as some people do, it becomes more clear that can't be our end goal. That can't be our North Star. So the goal here is to say it's not a particular metric. It's not a particular policy. That our end goal is how much we're lifting people up. And today makes all more clear why this definition is important. What is the success of an economy is, one, whether or not you are ensuring that people can care for their family and be there for their family in life's most precious moments. That, number two, you have the capacity to pursue potential and purpose and meaning. And three, whether or not you're able to work with respect as opposed to abuse and domination and humiliation. And this is so important because it is too easy for people simply to report the GDP is here or the stock market is here. And people start thinking that is your end goal. That's your North Star for economic policy. It's not. All of those metrics are only important to the degree that they are lifting up the well-being of all people. And even before the COVID crisis, you could see that we were a country where one of the most important metrics, unemployment, did sound pretty good, but it masked the fact that there were tens and tens and tens of millions of people who were living paycheck to paycheck, could not really support their families, could not take a day of paid sick leave, did not have health care. And so you couldn't say that just because you hit even that important metric, like unemployment, that it necessarily meant we were succeeding. And the only thing that really matters in the democracy, which is whether your policies are lifting up the well-being and fulfillment and happiness of the people that it's supposed to serve.
Well, I would agree with what you're saying here, and I'm glad to hear you say this because, you know, if you're involved in the stock market, that's your matrix. I mean, that's your metric. That's what you're going to look to. You know, if there's other, you know, key issues that are driving your worldview, GDP, as you say, that's most important. But I got to tell you, more and more Americans, Gene, at least that I'm speaking with, are concerned with those thousands of people, as you mentioned, that in the midst of what looks like a good economy are saying, hey, it's not working for me. So why isn't it working for them?
this really is the moment I talk about in the book when I cite Martin Luther King's speech in 1968 to the Memphis sanitation worker strike, where he says, all work has dignity, and someday our nation will realize that the sanitation worker is as essential to our public health as the physician. This has been the moment in our country where people have really stopped and realized that the nursing aide, the person who provides health care, that they are the home aide, that they are as essential to our well-being as ever, as anyone. But we're still feeling that dissonance in a way that we haven't, which is that half of those nursing aides who are caring for our loved ones couldn't take a day of paid sick leave off for their family. They can't really, many of them can't unionize or protect themselves against poor safety on the job. Many of them are being paid $12 and $14 an hour. So if you ask, what is the goal of an economy? And if you think this is radical, I will tell you, these are actually things that Adam Smith, the father of free markets, said. These are words Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican president, spoke about in 1912, which is that in an economy, those who work should be able to care for their loved ones, be able to survive a downturn, be able to provide the extra for their children when they're young and take care of their parents when they're old. These are the things that define whether a person feels like their work and effort has allowed them to live with a degree of economic dignity. So if you say you have a job, but you have to work 90 hours so that you can never appreciate the core moments of life, caring for your children, I don't think we say we succeed. Mm-hmm. I think if you can't take a day off when you're sick, I don't think it's good for all of us, as we've seen, but I don't think we've reached our standard, and I don't think most people do. And so what I'm trying to say is it's not fuzzy. It's not just being qualitative to ask beyond those metrics, are we fulfilling that basic goal? And I do believe that there is a deep American value that people should do their part, that they should carry their load, that they should work to the best degree that they can. But that when they do, they should be able to raise their children. They should be able to work, raise their children, and retire with dignity.
Gene, I got to tell you, what you're sharing, I don't find, conflicting with my values. I agree with the spirit in which you share that. I don't see that as being radical at all. I think that part of the challenge that we've had is, in part, you got the U.S., according to a U.S. labor force, this was years ago, it said that if you showed up for work every day, you were in the top 25% of the U.S. labor force. If you showed up for work every day on time, you were in the top 10%. If you showed up for work every day on time, had an idea of what you were going to do, you're in the top 5%. If you showed up for work every day on time, had an idea of what you were going to do and actually set out to do it, you were in the top 2%, roughly. And if you showed up for work every day on time, had an idea of what you're going to do, set out to do it, actually accomplished it, you were in the top 1%. And so some of this responsibility and maybe paradigm shift that you're pointing out here, and I believe it requires a paradigm shift and some, some inside out kind of thinking, and as you say, to find that North Star to where we define economic dignity in such a way to where employees don't feel like they have to work an 80-hour work week, and that the economy is operating in such a way that it supports a North Star that's win-win for industry, a win-win for the employee, for the families, and leads to a fulfillment, and I believe ultimately the final manifestation of liberty, which is what our country is founded on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, one of the things I stress here is that what we have to remember is, if you look again, the father of free markets, Adam Smith, mm-hmm. he didn't say he believed in markets and that if you structured it right, there could be an invisible hand. But he didn't say it happened automatically. And in fact, in the Wealth of Nations, he writes that for a market economy to work, those who work have to be able, he writes, to get their fair share of the product, to, and I'm quoting, to be themselves tolerably well-fed, clothed, and lodged, and that even the worker, the lowest-paid worker, had to have a wage consistent with common humanity. So to structure your markets this way doesn't mean you're throwing out competition. What it says is it says to every employer out there and to our economy generally, you're going to compete like crazy, but here's one way you're not going to compete.
More from Jim Swerling after this. We've got to take a quick break.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Bill Martinez, live.
19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us. And Gene Sperling is with us, Chief White House Economic Advisor to President Obama and President Clinton, his new book, Economic Dignity. And Gene, right before the break, I'm sorry, we ran out of time so quickly, and I wanted to make sure, because I believe the point you made is so important, and this is what people need to understand, is that, and I think, especially as you said, in light of COVID-19 as we come out of this, I think it gives us an opportunity to maybe rewrite the rules of our economy and what we consider to be optimum and our North Star.
Well, you know, absolutely. And, you know, two people I quote in the book are Adam Smith and Teddy Roosevelt. Now, that's the father of free markets and a famous Republican president. But what they had in common was that they believed in markets, but they believed that you had to structure them in a way that ensured a basic decency to workers, that you could not allow those who happen to have power to simply be able to use work, you know, to dominate workers or exploit them. And so what we are trying to, what one should be calling for, is that you're not trying to get rid of markets. We're going to be a market economy. Mm-hmm. You want to structure markets in a way that people compete. They compete vigorously. They compete on quality and innovation and service. But what we say is that you don't get to compete by how well you exploit your workers, how well you can pay them below what they need to support their families. And if you structure that way, if you have a decent living wage, if you have an economy that guarantees people health care and paid leave, then you're still going to have a competition, but it's going to be based on a fundamental floor of decency and values that you say, yeah, some people are going to do better than others. Some are going to have a bigger bank account and a fancier car and a larger house, but the economy will not be based on the notion that some people who are doing everything they can't, you know, look their kid in the eye and say things are going to be okay, not only put food at the table, but be at the table and have the capacity to survive a difficult time like a pandemic or a deep recession without losing everything they've worked their whole life for.
Exactly. Well, and I think part of the, I mean, this is kind of a symbiotic relationship between the markets and the employees, and the employees themselves have to have some personal dignity and appreciation for their value. I mean, right now, currently our economy, well, actually, I shouldn't say right now, but before COVID, there were something like 7 million jobs in the waning. We had more jobs than people. And, you know, I believe that opened up some competition where, you know, the employees started to be elevated and they were starting to negotiate for better wages. And I think that moves in the direction that you're talking about. But part of it has to be an awakening of the employee themselves to, you know, kind of let go of this old paradigm that says, look, you got to work your butt off and, you know, scramble at a minimum wage, that there is a better way. And so we need a systematic change kind of supported by the workforce itself that appreciates that, you know, their value, that they are essential. I mean, this is the thing that grieved me, and you brought this out earlier in the first segment, is that, you know, typecasting people in their jobs is saying, well, you're essential, you're not essential. But the fact of the matter is, with the economy being where it is right now, I think we're all realizing that everybody's essential, right?
That's exactly right. And I think there are moments in our country where something that might have existed for decades just becomes so vivid and clear that it can be a teaching moment. You know, right now somebody says, boy, I'm really realizing that nursing aide or that caregiver or that domestic worker or that farm worker, wow, they're still working so that I can eat or I can take care of my sick loved one or an elder parent in their final days. Boy, I rely on them so much. Wow, that doesn't seem right that they're risking their life for me, but they don't have PPE to keep them safe, that they don't have enough pay to put food on their table, that, wow, if they got sick, they couldn't take off a day to care for their children. And that's leading people to applaud and call people heroes, and it might lead us to even provide them a little more hazard pay now. But there needs to be a bigger realization, which is, why did we ever not think those jobs were essential? And I think what it comes to is realizing the value in each of us, that all of us have intrinsic value. Everything we're doing, of course, you know, the physician to the sanitation worker to the nursing aide, there's all value in it. And of course, we're a market economy. Some will get paid more. Some will do better. But I think this could be the moment where we step up and say, let's have a new deal for workers.
I'm with you.
Not based on, you know, and it's just based on decency. You're working hard. You're doing your part. you should be able to raise your family in dignity. You should work with dignity, retire with dignity.
Yeah, and you bring up a point. I mean, speaking of, you know, some of these first responders that volunteered to help out in New York, you know, Governor Cuomo put out a plea saying, look, we need help here. And they responded and came there, and then they wanted to hit them with, you know, New York taxes. You know, this speaks against what you're talking about in terms of dignity. I mean, we want to be so thankful for what they did. And then we're going to hit them with a special tax. And it wasn't Cuomo. I think it was more, you know, the mayor of New York, that did that. And I think that kind of kicks you in the gut when you're doing something decent and right for humanity. And the governmental powers come in and, you know, they kind of twist things around. I think it's counter what you're talking about in terms of economic
dignity. I thought it was really interesting to listen to the interviews with some of the meat workers and poultry workers who were ordered back to work. But then there was seemed to be little regard for what the government or the employer's responsibility was to ensure they didn't get COVID, that it was a safe place. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them would say, I'm proud that the work I do helps feed our country. They felt proud that they were contributing, but mm-hmm. they all had that same view. I don't want to be treated just as a means to the end, though.
Exactly.
I'm a person, too.
Right.
And, you know, that's an industry, unfortunately, meat, poultry, where many of those workers have always been treated poorly, always had high rates of carpal tunnel syndrome, serious injuries. And I think when people say, you know, you have to go and help and serve your country, but you know what? We care about you, too.
Exactly.
That's the key. And I don't usually quote philosophers, but that was Kant's definition. That dignity meant that you never felt like you were being treated just as a means to someone's end. That, of course, you and I, all of us who work, were a means to certain goals. But are we also, is our kind of intrinsic human value being met? And I feel that is the right message for our country. We get divided on whether it's big government or a list of programs, but if we just thought to ourselves, what's that basic compact? If you're doing your share, if you're doing your part, if you're contributing to your family and your country, okay. If you're doing your part, what is that basic level of wages, health care? These are not luxuries. These are
right.
things that just ensure that everybody can enjoy the things that are universally wonderful about life, right?
Yes.
The ability to raise your children, to be with loved ones, to you know, take some time off to make sure your parents are well situated when they start dealing with the end of life. These are precious, whether you're the CEO or the lowest person working in a company. Those are the basic things in life we should be able to not deny people of because we don't have, you know, basic protections for all people who work.
You know, and case in point, there are companies throughout the country that honor those values, and they are the ones that have employees that are doing very well. The happiness ratio is higher, if I can put it in those terms. Sense of fulfillment, you know, it's a very rewarding place. You know, longevity of employment at these specific. But, you know, this is a paradigm shift, as you say, right now, that the country should be willing to embrace because of the teaching moment, because I think if we do not take advantage of this teaching moment, and I've been saying, Gene, on this show, that, you know, occasionally we come to those times and those benchmarks in life where it's choices and moments that come up. And I believe that we're at that moment where we can make the right choice and as a result be a real gift for the next generation, like our parents were a gift to us and known as the world's greatest generation. Maybe that's our future legacy, just waiting in the wings. And your book starts to put us on that trajectory. Economic Dignity, and this book's going to be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Gene, thank you so much for being with us. Good stuff here. Appreciate it.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It was another night of violence in dozens of cities across the United States. Night six of protests, many of which turned into riots over the Minneapolis police custody death of George Floyd a week ago today. Nearly 40 cities are under nighttime curfews. National Guard troops have been activated in 15 states as well as Washington, D.C. New York City authorities believe the violence there associated with the George Floyd death has been planned out. NYPD Chief John Miller is saying that they have evidence from anarchist leaders.
Advanced scouts using encrypted communications, having resupply routes for things like gasoline and accelerants, as well as rocks and bottles.
Today marks the start of the Atlantic hurricane season, which experts say will be a very active one this year. And this is USA Radio News.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun owners population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free! Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free, with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You know, I was just reading this the other day, and I was really surprised to realize, I don't know why I didn't realize before, just how, lung cancer, what it has become in terms of the leading cause of cancer death among both men and women, and accounts for about one quarter of all cancer deaths in the U.S. That number really astounded me. I don't know if that is astounding you. More than breast, prostate, colorectal cancers combined. Now, one of the most aggressive forms of the disease is small cell lung cancer, what they call SCLC, which makes up about 15% of lung cancer cases in the U.S. Although SCLC is less common, non-small cell cancer, lung cancer, I say, makes up about 85% of lung cancer cases. It is fast-growing and spreads more rapidly to other parts of the body. Almost two-thirds of diagnosed patients have extensive stage disease when the cancer is first found, meaning the cancer has already spread to both lungs or other more distant parts of the body. Patients with extensive stage small cell lung cancer face a particularly poor prognosis and are in urgent need of new options. On the heels of the American Society of Clinical Oncology's annual meeting, we're blessed to have Dr. Yubin Chan with us. He's an oncologist at Cancer and Hematology Centers of Western Michigan, and he's here to share this new data with us. Dr. Chan, thank you for the time, and thank you for coming on the show. How are you, sir?
Good. Thank you for having me here.
Well, tell us more about the small cell lung cancer and how it differs from other forms of lung cancer, if you would, doctor.
I totally agree with you. Compared to non-small cell lung cancer, counterpart small cell lung cancer is a more aggressive type of lung cancer. It grows fast and it spreads early. That's why, unfortunately, When at diagnosis, most people already have what we call extensive stage disease, which means the cancer already widespread, spread to the other side of the lung or to other organs, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems that because it's not detected early, just by its very nature, where it is in the body, we don't find out until, in many cases, it's too late, is what you're telling me, right?
Correct. There's no easy way to diagnose lung cancer when they're too early.
Well, let's talk about some of the latest advances in the treatment of small cell lung cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, especially for extensive stage small cell lung cancer, traditionally we have been treating that with chemotherapy alone in the past 30 years, but unfortunately the outcome was not good. Patients usually don't live long with chemotherapy alone. One new advancement is to add a type of new medication called immunotherapy, which is a type of medication that helps people's immune system to fight against the cancer. So by adding a immunotherapy to the traditional chemotherapy, we show that it is able to improve the outcome and prolong survival. And this treatment has already been approved by the FDA recently and listed in the National Cancer Treatment Guidelines. And this is based on a phase 3 clinical trial called Cassian trial. The Cassian trial basically showed that by adding Imfinzi to traditional chemotherapy, we are able to prolong median overall survival from 10.3 months to 3 months, which also decreased the risk of death by 25%. And we also found that in the Cassian trial that 22% of patients who get Imfinzi with chemotherapy could live for more than 2 years. So those are the major findings supporting the new standard of treating extensive stage non-small cell lung cancer.
Dr. Chen, what do you think in terms of the prospects for a cure here?
Well, we consider extensive stage small cell lung cancer still an incurable disease. It is still an aggressive cancer, but this new advancement by adding intensive chemotherapy does offer hope for patients to live longer, and it does prove to improve survival meaningfully. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we're visiting with Dr. Yuan Bin Chen, and he is the oncologist at Cancer and Hematology Centers of Western Michigan, and we're talking about this incredible, I mean, this very aggressive form of cancer that, you know, I was, like I said, I was surprised to read just, you know, how aggressive and how lethal this is. It's the leading cause of cancer deaths among both men and women. And as I said, accounts for about one quarter of all cancer deaths in the U.S., more than breast, prostate, and colorectal cancers combined. And as Dr. Chen has been saying, it's one of the most aggressive forms of disease, which is the small cell lung cancer. So these treatments, Dr. Chen, for patients with small cell lung cancer, this is giving them some hope, right?
Yes. So it is important not to lose hope, although it is still considered incurable, but we have seen people live long in a decent quality of life with new advancement of treatment. So it is important not to lose hope and always help your doctor to explore all available options, including immunotherapy options for treatment of small cell lung cancer.
Well, Dr. Chen, you know, you touched on something in terms of not only we're extending life, but you're also doing it in consideration of quality of life. And that is the big challenge, isn't it, for oncology?
That is a big challenge, yeah. The cancer itself could ruin the quality of life a lot. So I think the most important aspect to improve quality of life for cancer patients is to control the cancer, actually. So, I think that's all these new treatments can have to control the cancer.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Chen, I got to imagine people, what they're concerned with in hearing about this is, you know, what do I need to be on the lookout to where I am helping doctors such as yourself address this issue sooner than later? What are some of the symptoms that we need to be aware of?
The common symptoms from lung cancer include cough, recurrent pneumonia, clogging up blood, weight loss, chest pain. Those are warning signs you need to tell to your doctor as soon as possible.
Now, when you say cough, I mean, this is cough over extended period of times, not to include, you know, the casual cough that we would have. I mean, when you're saying cough, what does that look like when a patient comes in and you see a patient and they're coughing? Is it something that they've been living with for a number of months, maybe some cases years? What does it look like?
Yeah, that could be very challenging sometimes. Most people who cough don't have cancer. We notice that, but I think sometimes even the cough is not changed from their usual cause. It could. It could mean a cancer hiding behind us. Especially if the cough change in nature, it's different from someone's normal or usual cough. That is going to be a warning sign. Yeah.
And like you say, loss of weight. I mean, the obvious things. I mean, look, if you're coughing blood, I mean, that's going to cause some serious attention, you know, very quick. There's no doubt about it. But some of these other things, we just accept and live with before it's too late. And what you're talking about is, we need to address this issue as early as possible. And like all cancers, our success ratio goes up the earlier we discover this, right?
Exactly. Especially for lung cancer, unfortunately, early detection of lung cancer is not achieved by a routine physical exam with a primary doctor or by any easy blood test. So there is screening test to catch lung cancer early enough. That is a CT scan screening. So people should take it as seriously as colonoscopy and mammogram for cancer screening for those people who have significant smoking history. So that's what I would recommend. Talk to your doctor about CT scan screening for lung cancer if you have significant smoking history.
Exactly. Well, Dr. Yumin Chen has been our guest, medical oncologist of cancer and hermatology centers at Western Michigan. Dr. Chen, we've got to wrap things up. Tell everybody where they can go for more information, if you would, please.
The American Cancer Society website, the Longevity website, and a website called Go To Foundation for Lung Cancer. Those are all available publicly.
Well, Dr. Chen, thank you again for your time. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
In all this time, you thought they were just words, right? And here it is before us. So, look it, we all have skin in the game, like it or not. If you're part of America, hey, our country is burning. And we've got a lot of angry people out there. So, what are we going to do about it? And don't be looking to the traditional leaders, all right? Traditional leaders, if you're looking to the president, we've had, you know, even a black president in office for 8 years. And how well did we do? Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, they're missing in action. Where are they to calm the peace? I mean, they're all just sitting back in their bunkers watching all this destruction and the unleashing of all these emotions to no constructive end, at least a constructive end that we might consider in terms of the American way of life. I got to bring Adam Holtz on right now. He is the director for Focus on the Families, PluggedIn.com. Adam, before we talk about the streaming movies, I want to get your read on this because, well, I'll tell you, what do we got? Over 20 cities and growing across the country that have participated one way or another in these protests turning, you know, I say protest, and that's mild because what's happening is these protests are being hijacked by these rioters.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And there's ample evidence out there that, you know, these are not spontaneous expressions of local anger. These are violent protests that are being stalked, and, you know, really incited by at least some people who are leading the way, you know, in terms of, the violence and the terrible things that we're seeing happen. And as you said, you know, our country is paying the price. We, in our small group, one of the guys in our small group is, a police detective. And, you know, we've been in really close conversation with his family and praying for them. And here in Colorado Springs, which I don't know that we made any kind of national news, you know, we've had protests downtown the last two nights with people throwing rocks at police. And, I just think, there's complexity here. I don't want to oversimplify it, but it, as you said, this is not an expression of anger that is, you know, leading in a constructive way. And we have, you know, been right there with this family in our small group, whom we've known for 20 plus years, as they have battled personally the implications of, you know, dad going off to fight this battle.
A combat zone in his own city.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
He's been serving for decades. And, hey, is dad going to come back home, or is he going to meet up with a brick in the face like so many have been hit and stuff with Molotov cocktails? And, you know, some officers have even been shot. But, you know, this is what lawlessness looks like, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I got to thinking about this, because not only are we dealing with a pandemic of COVID-19, this has become a pandemic. I mean, there are, there are demonstrations in Europe, you know, that are taking place right now. I mean, of course, we've seen a lot of, which has been going on in Hong Kong right now, understandably, but that's in some cases, that's of the same garment and the same woof and warp, and that is the denigration of humanity to look at them as less than.
Right.
And this is what's spreading. And all it takes is good people to stand by. And also what I'm observing here, Adam, I mean, a lot of people want to separate and make a clear delineation between the rioters and the protesters. But unfortunately, what happens, all it takes, and we know this, you know, the Word of God has told us that all it takes is some bad company to ruin, you know, good company.
Right.
And
that,
so
you know, that's true. And I think, unfortunately, there is, it seems like in riots, regardless of who's participating, all it takes is a little bit of violence, and it's almost like some primal switch gets flipped.
Exactly. And you got people in their own cities that are going in. Look, I don't see Antifa members coming out with arms full of booze and clothes and stuff like that. I am seeing locals who are, it looks to me a lot like locals, not Antifa. It's just like Antifa's just opened the damn gate and said, hey, go for it, you know.
Yeah.
We'll bust open the windows. And then you got all these horde of local people, sadly, you know, going in and feeling like it is their right, which is, you know, disgustingly reminds me of what the Baltimore mayor had made a comment a couple years back, if you remember.
Yeah.
You know, she told the police to stand down, that as if the people locally had a right. This was an endemic right for them to go ahead and destroy their cities and wipe out the dreams of everyday citizens who worked their butts off, borrowed money, did everything they can to build a business, and suddenly it became the right of the locals to go and destroy those dreams. And we don't hear what happened to those people and those businesses.
No, that's right. I read an article this morning about two long-standing bookstores that are right next to each other in the Twin Cities, a science fiction bookstore and a mystery bookstore. And this was a nationally recognized local store that, you know, really specialized in genre stuff, in signed copies and special editions. And they burned it to the ground. And this article said, you know what, if you burn down the McDonald's or a Target, the community loses something, but you can rebuild those. But people who have invested their lifeblood into specialized and, you know, very deeply personal businesses for decades, when those things burn to the ground, they don't come back, because you can't replace what is lost.
Yeah. But even in the replacement, Adam, what they're finding out is in some communities, gone forever. Some taken decades to rebuild. I mean, those are lost jobs, lost revenue, all that over the years that has been devastated by these anarchists. And this is pure anarchy that's happened. But, again, the check that needs to be placed in front of those good-minded people that otherwise would not, that they have enough restraint in and of themselves to not participate in that kind of pillaging that's taken place. I mean, we've got an iconic church almost burnt down in Washington, D.C., St. John's.
No, that's exactly right. And again, when you are venting rage about injustice, but you are burning down the institutions that support your community, I just don't even have words for it, Bill. I mean, it just strikes me as so utterly, utterly destructive to everything that the very things you need, when it's all done, aren't there anymore.
Well, I'll tell you, I wrote a piece in Reactionary Times that's carrying, they're featuring it this week, you know, to the heart of this issue, which is the heart of mankind.
Yeah.
We have to, as John Whitehead expressed earlier on the show, and he's been saying this for a while, we have lost empathy.
Yeah.
There was no empathy on display when Derek Chauvin had his knee across the throat of George Floyd.
Yep.
You know, there was no empathy when two guys go and chase down a black jogger and shoot him in the streets of their neighborhood. You know, I mean, and we can go on and on. There's no empathy when you have rioters, professional rioters, come in, you know, from miles away for the sole purpose of destruction.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff is antithetical to the very values that you and I, you know, believe that we were raised under, that we hope our kids, you know, will embrace and hold on to. But, you know, obviously, it's not going to be easy. And it's interesting because several weeks ago, I did write, and I think I mentioned to you, I wrote another commentary about choices and moments. And here we are. We're at a moment in time that demands the right choice. If we are going to address this racial divide once and forever and have it be redeemed in the name of Jesus, and otherwise, you know, we're just going to keep, you know, we're going to stay on the hamster wheel and we'll revisit this problem, you know, a couple of years more down the road.
Yep, that's right. And I think that Jesus is really the only hope for redemption here, Bill. I don't think liberal ideology is going to get it done, and I don't think that conservative ideology, apart from Jesus, is going to get it done either.
I'm encouraged. I will tell you, yesterday was Pentecost Sunday.
Yes.
And we know what the Holy Spirit does.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit does his work, it is hovering over the chaos, just like we read in Genesis 1.
Yeah.
And I believe this is what the Spirit of God is doing. It is hovering over the chaos in order to bring order. And order will begin. It first begins because God called it into order. The Holy Spirit will hover over the chaos, and the hearts of men will melt, and they will soften. Otherwise, we are really headed into the fast lane of human destruction because we cannot sustain this type of activity and this type of anger.
No, we cannot. That's absolutely right, Bill.
Well, we didn't talk much about Plugged In and the streaming movies, but certainly there's more at PluggedIn.com. We've got about a minute left. Adam, I'm going to let you summarize here. And as always, I appreciate your insight in addressing this contemporary issue.
You know, just to pivot towards movies for just a moment, the most interesting thing this weekend was a new movie on Amazon called The Vast of Night, which is a PG-13 UFO thriller. And if you are looking for an engaging, thoughtful, well-written film, a smattering of content, one harsh profanity is really about it, and some smoking, of course, because it was the 50s. I saw it this weekend and absolutely thought, man, we need more like this that are, you know, really thoughtful films. So you can take a look at that one.
Exactly. And to be in the flow of the know, you want to go to PluggedIn.com. All the information is right there. And again, all the great work that Plugged In team is doing on behalf of the people of faith that are looking, you know, to make sure that what we put into our minds and our hearts is consistent with our faith values, right?
Absolutely. So come to PluggedIn.com and we'll give you everything you need.
Adam Holtz. Thank you, Adam. Take care. God bless.
Thanks, Bill.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.